Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 6, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Savai Pung Sang Paro Dharamo Yato Bhaktir Adhok Shaje Ahaitukya Pratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. This third line is pronounced Ahaitukya Pratihata. It's one flowing sound, not stopping. Ahaituki Apratihata. Not like that, it should be Ahaitukya Pratihata. One flowing sound. Is that alright? Translation: the supreme occupation, Dharma. For all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Purport. In this statement, Sri Suta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and to present the most essential part so that the fallen people, so that fallen people or the people in general might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different kinds of occupation for the human being. One is called the Pravritti Marg, or the path of sense enjoyment. And the other is called the Nivritti Marg, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the Supreme Cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence, or Brahma-Bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just the futile attempt to get rid of the miseries, and temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, and all cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, that is, without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of the devotional service of the Lord without any tinge of unnecessary desire, fruitive action, and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in His service. We have purposely denoted dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings. Amongst all other living beings, I lost it. A living being says, Krishna is eternal pervading his all tread living origins. Amongst all other beings are eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. Everyone should learn this verse. If you have not yet learned this, please learn it. It is a weather vane for all of our devotional activities, so like a compass, the point of a compass. It's another analogy which keeps us on the right path. It could be said to be the most important verse in Bhagavatam, although it's very difficult to say what's most important because all of them are so important. Some are particularly directional. This Bhagavatam is the topmost shastra. Shastra means that which gives knowledge. This is the topmost knowledge, which means it's the best knowledge. Why is that? Well, see what that knowledge is. Bhagavatam is known to be the best shastra. Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranam Amalam, the spotless Purana, Pramanam Amalam, the spotless evidence, Vidya Bhagavata Adivi. Vidya Bhagavadavadhi, that's the saying is there, that the ultimate limit of knowledge is Srimad Bhagavatam. So that could be said because of the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, all knowledge in a nutshell in four verses. Because of the delineation of Krishna's, extensive delineation of Krishna's pastimes in the 10th canto, the first verse itself, first verse of Bhagavatam, summarizes the subject of the supreme absolute reality all in one verse. The second verse of Bhagavatam, by its stated intention, declares this to be the most important shastra because it is Vedyam Vasuva Matra Vastu Shivadam Tapa Trayonmulanam. It is the actual essence of all knowledge, kicking out Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra, all posturing, masquerading in the name of religion, that's all kicked out. And the actual essence of the Vedas is given here. For the welfare of all, it uproots the threefold miseries. So for all these reasons, Bhagavatam can be stated to be the best shastra. Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam establishes the supreme original form of the supreme personality of Godhead to be Krishna. And this is another verse by which we can understand the Bhagavatam to be the topmost shastra, even if this only this one verse was here. And that was the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, that would still qualify it as the topmost shastra. Because it clearly delineates what is the highest dharma for all living beings, the best thing that everyone can do, which means the best, the thing that everybody should do. It's good to know what we should do before we start to do something. That sounds like a truism or a statement with not much meaning, because obviously you should know what you're going to do if you're going to do it. But most people, they just go through their life without thinking, what am I doing, why am I doing, where am I going, where have I come from? Just like animals. Just like the dogs, they behave like dogs, and the cats behave like cats, so humans, they also. Prakriti kriyamana ani gunai karmani sarvasha. Everyone is under the control of the tribir gunamaya bhava. Everyone is under the control of the three modes of material nature, and don't even think what we should be doing. And those who think what we should be doing, they're called philosophers, and they come up with many ideas in the non-Vedic tradition, or in the Western world in particular. There's so much philosophy, but they never even made it as far as the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita. For all their intricate philosophy, they didn't understand anything. And therefore, when they consider good and evil, all they can think of is in terms of human society. Maybe some of them now are beginning to think about animal society, animals also. But none of them seem to have even considered our massive insignificance. If you consider, I'm a human. Okay, I'm a human. I am a human. That they just presume that. Even it's supposed to be religious, because they have no knowledge. Well, what does it matter, this little life which lasts for 70 or 80 years, maybe, in this tiny little speck called the planet Earth? Why put so much importance on it? Sometimes they, of course, it's not that they don't think about it, but then they go on anyway ascribing importance, because why? Because they're in Maya, they have any better knowledge. Just like these atheists, the new atheists in the Western world, they're actually having some influence in India also, at least indirectly. They're so busy to convince everyone there's no God. Why should they bother? Just, if there's no God, then okay, just go to sleep, brush your teeth in the morning, go to work, and why? What does it matter whether you live or you die? If we're just a combination of chemicals. These atheists, if they said, well, then there's no meaning in life, they say, yeah, there's meaning in life. We can watch the sunset off Land's End in Cornwall, and it's very beautiful. But even the concept of something being beautiful, that is the beginning of the appreciation of transcendence. Because chemicals, they don't experience beauty. You say, well, we can listen to nice music, but chemicals, they don't have any. You can get all the world's best musicians. Who's going to judge who's the best musician? What kind of music? And put it next to a beaker of hydrochloric acid. It won't make any difference. The hydrochloric acid won't say, thank you very much. If you put a plant, they'll react to. Plants react to music. Consciousness is there. Life is there. So anyway, they're clueless. No idea. But the Bhagavatam gives a very clear idea. There are many people who profess to give clear ideas, but if we examine their clear ideas, there are so many problems in their clear ideas. They may be certain that they're right, but it doesn't seem to add up. Another major point, of course, that they overlook in the Western world is the fact that we are born and we die, and then we're born again, and we die again, and we're born and we die again. And that this world is full of suffering. That actually in the Hindu world and the Buddhist world and the Jain world and the Sikh world, and where they accept that we are born again and again, they act as if we don't. So people are clueless. Bhagavatam gives the best understanding. We won't find a better understanding than this. Of course, some people will think that, well, we do have a better understanding. They can't understand that the Bhagavatam is the best understanding because they're in the modes of nature. In the modes of nature, then what isn't right seems to be right. Dharmam dharam iti ya manyase tamas avrita. That which is dharma appears to be adharma, and vice versa to persons who are covered by the mode of ignorance. So therefore this Bhagavatam is meant for nirmatsaranam satam, for purified people who are free from envy. And hearing the Bhagavatam will also help us to come to that stage. Bhagavatam can be properly appreciated by non-envious people, and that means that it's actually just available to the pure devotees. That's true in one sense, but those who are also aspiring for that, to be pure devotees, because they have that desire to be pure devotees, then Krishna he appreciates that. Shindatang swakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantas tohi bhadrani vidhunoti suhrit satam. Krishna is the friend of the, here again, this nirmatsaranam satam, the sat, the sadhu. Krishna appreciates, he considers a sadhu someone who is trying to be his devotee, who likes to hear about Krishna, and Krishna personally helps to clean the heart of such a person, and thus he can appreciate the message of Bhagavatam, whereas others may not be interested. So Bhagavatam gives clear direction. What is this clear direction? Well, this knowledge of Bhagavatam is predicated on that of Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna establishes that we are all eternal living beings. We are part and parcel of Krishna. We are meant to serve Krishna. We are meant to be devotees of Krishna. So here, this verse, Savaipong Sang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Hokshajaya Haitoki Prati Hataya Atma Suprasidati. Here is established that the highest occupation that we, for all living beings, that this philosophy, wondering where I am, where I came from, where I'm going to, this should be taken up in human life. And this gives the clear answer. Bhagavatam can be taken up by persons who are very fortunate, whose consciousness has arisen above the flowery words of the Vedas or any material attraction. Bhagavatam Bhashanam Brahma Sutranam is the commentary on the Brahma Sutras. And Brahma Sutras begin, Atato Brahma Jignasa. Brahma Sutras, the delineation of the transcendental knowledge of the Vedas begin after one is finished with worldly dharma, which is meant for elevation to the heavenly planets. But then persons who come to the Brahma Sutras, or persons come to the knowledge part of the Vedas, they're usually stuck with the concept of jnana, that I, aham brahmasmi, I am spiritual, so let me merge into Brahman. And here in Bhagavatam is given the clear understanding. The highest dharma, the best thing we should do, and actually it's the only thing we should do, but in this material world, there are so many different ideas of what we should do. They're all wrong, except this one, that we should serve Krishna. Bhakti means devotional service, loving devotional service, adhokshaja. This is to be executed on the spiritual platform. Krishna is all spiritual. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada differentiates between purely spiritual service to Krishna and service to Krishna which is executed for some material purpose. That cannot be properly called dharma. There's not paro dharma. The dharma that is to be taken up by human beings, the practice of dharma in this world is brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, and woman in another category. So four orders of the four spiritual orders, four social orders, and women, they're meant for grihastha life as the wife of a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. So this dharma means executed within varnashram dharma, and that practice of dharma is to regulate one's life so that one does not fall into sinful life and so that one may be elevated and one can gradually take up the mood of selflessness. For instance, pious activities for the rich man, which usually means the Vaishya or the Kshatriya, they should dig wells for the public benefit and ponds and plant trees on the roadside for shade, open the or finance Anakshetra, Dharmshala, and all this kind of thing. So these are pious activities. In other words, having accumulated wealth, one should use it for the good of others. One should become selfless. And this will make one happy, at least on the material platform. Here is stated, yayatma suprasidati. Dharma, Srila Prabhupada always, or generally translates this as the that which sustains one's existence, and that means Eko Hindi Balne Wala Inko Batai Hare Krishna Aap Ke Liye Hindu Aap Mahaja. So dharma means the intrinsic characteristic of the living being, which is to serve. Now there are other characteristics of the living being also. One major or inseparable characteristic of the living being is that he desires to be happy. The living being by nature is Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And out of all of these, the bliss, that's the most important. That is the nature of the living being, to be blissful. So everyone wants to be happy. We should think how we can, even materially, we should think how we should be happy. But the secret of happiness is to try to make others happy. The more we try to be happy just for myself, we become greedy, selfish, then we want to dominate others, we may steal, we may kill. Or if we're more tempered, we may not kill, we may cooperate with others, because we realize that in cooperation with others, our own self-interest is served. And so we find in material society, there's this tension between people cooperating and trying to exploit and enjoy each other. And therefore they have laws and police forces and all this kind of thing, because basically everyone wants what they can get for themselves, but they know they have to cooperate with others, because if I steal, then I'll get a bad result, so I better not steal. When the police go on strike, then the criminals, people who might not have been criminals, they suddenly become criminals because there's no one to stop me. There's a saying which I learned in ISKCON by the School of Hard Knocks, but that locks help to keep honest people honest. Someone may be very honest as long as he doesn't have the opportunity to steal. Then he might just slip up for a moment. Just like I used to hear sometimes in Bangladesh, people would tell me that, yeah, we're vegetarian. Most of the time. They can only afford to eat fish or flesh every month or something. So the rest of the time they're I'm vegetarian, except, well, 3 times a day I take meat. So 23 hours I'm vegetarian. See, I'm 23 out of 24 parts vegetarian. So this is not virtue. So dharma, this life of dharma is especially meant to regulate us. There's a tension between fulfilling our own desires and acting for the welfare of others. If we act for the welfare of others, we produce our own happiness. It's beneficial for, it's conducive to our own happiness. If we dig wells for others, we'll be respected in society and we'll get pious activities by which we can go to the heavenly planets. So that we enjoy. And there's also, this is the spirit that dharma is trying to inculcate, that the idea that, well, anyway, just by doing it and seeing others are happy, be happy like that. Whether you go to the heavenly planets or you don't, just try to do good for others. And therefore we find in the Shastras stories like that of Ranti Dev, who to save the life of a pigeon gave his own life. Doesn't seem to be a very good idea to save a pigeon, to give your own life, especially if you're the king, but he did so. He was so completely selfless. Ranti Dev has been adopted by the Mahayana Buddhists as a bodhisattva, one who does good for others without consideration of themselves. Ranti Dev, he prayed that, may I simply do good for others even if it causes me so much personal suffering. And that is a higher kind of happiness than the happiness of getting money, enjoying Sri Aishwarya Prajapsava, the women, opulence, and big family. The happiness of selflessness much exceeds that. And therefore, in dharma, even if one can't be a great karmavir, he cannot do great activities of karma or dharma, dharmavir, someone may be called if he gives money for sponsors various public welfare works. At least one is supposed to live within the family and then be selfless. The father sacrifices for the family, the mother sacrifices for the family. The children, when they grow up, they're supposed to do the same thing for their children and to look after their elderly parents, so that happiness comes in serving others. And if we take that to a greater extent, we can see persons like, in the modern world, Mother Teresa. There are not many persons like Mother Teresa who will forsake their prospects of happiness. I don't know how much happiness you could have in Albania at any time in history, but she's probably better off in Calcutta. You must have a lot of Albanian jokes over in your place, is it? I can imagine. It's like one of the most desolate places on earth. Anyway, she's from Albania. And they're mostly atheists, isn't it? They don't have any religion. Previously it was Catholic, a long time ago. Was it Catholic or Orthodox? I think it must have been Catholic, otherwise how did Mother Teresa come out of it? Anyway, it's a God-forsaken place in all respects. So she went and she gave her life to for the suffering and the poor and the dying. And why should she do that? Well, because there's happiness in giving yourself for the pleasure of others. So that's something we can all remember. And everyone wants to be happy. That is the dharma of the living being, to be happy. So we can all remember, if you want to be happy, try to make others happy. And therefore we have books like Chicken Soup for the Soul. There's a popular book in the West called Chicken Soup for the Soul. Chicken soup, the idea is that chicken soup is something your mother cooks, and it's something sharing love. Poor chicken. They never thought about the chickens. They could have said potato soup, but they said chicken soup. You see, they have no idea, really no idea. The idea is that this chicken soup is symbolic of the mother's love for the family. Although you could also get it at Campbell's condensed soup out of a can. There's not much. The real love comes when you wring, anyway, kill the chicken yourself and take off all the feathers and then cut it and go to so much trouble. Then you put it for the family. Oh, and the family doesn't even appreciate. They just blah, 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 take it and run out. But the mother is satisfied. Ah, yes. And it's full of all these stories of people who do things to make others happy. So this is making others happy, makes yourself happy, and it's true on the material platform. One of the major problems with this is that it doesn't solve the problem of birth and death, especially if you kill chickens in the process. Then you also become a chicken, and you also become part of someone else's chicken soup, if they decide to make soup. Which every good mother does, because anyway, I won't go on. I know too much about these things. I better not talk about it. So, service, selfless service, has to be directed toward Krishna in order to fully satisfy the self. Everyone wants to be happy, obviously. How can we be happy? People will give different ideas. Some people try to be happy with music. Some people try to be happy with intoxication. Some people try to be happy with sex. Some people try to be happy by having a prestigious career, making money. And above all of these is acting for the pleasure of others. And the highest acting for the pleasure of others is on the Adhokshaja platform, on a platform which is completely different to that of the mundane platform of trying to make others happy. It is Amandadaya Mahdaya. It is the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives that mercy which causes no harm to others. So trying to make others happy in this world, it causes harm to others. Even if one thinks that one is only doing good, even if one thinks I'm only acting for the benefit of others, if one has no proper knowledge of how to act for the benefit of others, even with the best of intentions, they will cause harm. So it's good to know what we should be doing before we do it. So Bhagavatam is not one verse, it's many verses to establish what we should be doing, why we should be doing it, how we should do it also. Especially the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu gives so much instruction how we should do it. The whole idea is to please Krishna, and if we please Krishna, we will be fully satisfied. We may think, well, that's selfish, isn't it? You're just serving Krishna. What about everyone else? But the Bhagavatam assures us that if we serve Krishna, then everyone else will be satisfied. That verse is there, yata taror moola nishecha nena tripyanti tat skandha puja upashaka pranao paharachcha yatendriyanam tathaiva sarvahanam atyuteja. Two examples. Just like watering the root of a tree nourishes all the parts of the tree, the branches, the twigs, the leaves, the fruits, the flowers, and feeding the stomach nourishes all of the body. Whereas if we try to separately water the parts of the tree or separately try to nourish the parts of the body, it will be a failure. So we have to know where to place our service so that all others will be served. By serving Krishna, yasmin tushte jagat tushta. By serving Him, that can actually satisfy others. Whereas by attempting to serve others without serving Krishna, then that will not actually help them or ourselves, even if we have a temporary feeling of satisfaction. Just like the example of Mother Teresa. She was a meat eater, which means that she didn't have a very developed concept of helping others or doing good for others. And she'll have to suffer for these sinful reactions, even though people think that she is a saint. Her idea of helping others, well, of course, she had the idea of doing it for Jesus, but she had no real idea of what Jesus wanted at all. Because she was on the bodily platform, she had no spiritual knowledge whatsoever. So this spiritual knowledge is required. Otherwise, if we have good intentions, those good intentions will be misplaced. And actually, someone who's attracted to anything else but pure devotional service to Krishna, however good they may seem to be, the very fact that they're not attracted to Krishna indicates that their intentions are not actually so pure. It's mixed with the modes of material nature. It's mixed with selfishness, personal desire. It may not be visible. It may not be very apparent, but it must be there. Because there's service to Krishna and non-service to Krishna, and non-service to Krishna manifests as desire to enter the impersonal absolute, or desire to go to the heavenly planets, and so many ways, so many, many, many ways. Hoya Maya Das Kori Nana Abhilash. When we become the servant of Maya, we have so many desires. So there's right and there's wrong. And there are gradations also. It is better to worship Krishna even with material desires than not to worship Him at all. It is better to perform charitable works than to simply exploit others and try to manipulate them. So there are gradations, but basically there is properly situated in Krishna consciousness and none, and outside of that. So Bhagavatam gives us the clear direction toward this. And we won't find anything better than this. In the, I saw in one of the, when I was reading for research for Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, there was, I read something, there was a conversation between a devotee, a member of the Gauriya Math, and a Muslim scholar. So the devotee said, yes, we can discuss. And I'm quite open-minded. If you can give me something better, then I'll take it. We're not just promoting some sectarian line. We are the Hare Krishna movement, so kick everything out. Well, we may say kick everything out, but here's why we're going to kick it out. It's not simply, it's not some kind of fanaticism that we latch onto. But if we examine carefully with our intelligence, God gives us intelligence, then Chaitanya Dayar Kata Kara Bichar Bichar Karile Chitte Pabe Chamatkar. If we examine the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we'll be astonished. There's nothing, we can't find anything better than this, to describe our whole existential position and describe who we are, what we are. What is the ultimate reality? The ultimate reality is, yes, yayatma supraseded ananda, that's stated in the Upanishads also. Yatova imani bhutani jayante, this whole section from which everything comes. There's a parallel section that ananda. Ananda is the source of everything. Everything lives in ananda. Everything enters into ananda. So ultimately ananda, bliss, that is the ultimate. So what is that bliss? That ultimate manifestation is found in the loving exchanges of Krishna with his devotees. Why is anything existing? Bliss, that is the ultimate. Bliss exists for its own sake. But then bliss means exchange, love. So eko bahu syam, the one Krishna manifests himself as many simply for the sake of bliss. And that bliss comes from giving oneself. Not trying, the more we try to take it, the less we get. The more we give, the more we get. And we should know who to give to. Give to Krishna. Give our life to Krishna. Give everything to Krishna. It belongs to Krishna. If we simply give ourselves to Krishna, that is the complete self-fulfillment. That is the best service we can do to others. Bhagavatam expounds this, therefore Bhagavatam, even objectively speaking, we can understand that Bhagavatam is the highest knowledge for all of humanity. And that's expressed here. Savai pung sang paro dharma, the highest knowledge, the highest occupation for all humanity. Yato bhakti radhokshaje, that by which bhakti, pure devotional service, is offered to the transcendent Lord. He's not simply someone handing out benedictions for material enjoyment. Ahaitokya pratihata, that is without motivation, that is 24 hours or non-stop, and that will fully satisfy the self. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. No. All right. And we'll finish. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.